Coming up on TMS, news people are sorry.
We visit some small soldiers.
Ick, that Ken Burns knows how to make a good documentary.
Dude likes kids' parties and stealing their balloons.
And more. Moms have, what? Oh, mom has lightning baby.
J.K. Rowling has a new novel coming out under a dude's name.
Katy Perry, takes a really long time to do her makeup.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty. I can't talk today. Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Ooh, critters now have orange boots. Sweetest moose we could produce. Call for orange boots.
Sweet moose, the color of orange. Now inside the box with the other sugary animals.
Call for orange moose.
Yes, it's post crispy critters.
The one and only cereal that comes in the shape of animals.
Including orange moose.
Post cereals make breakfast a little bit better.
To discriminate,
The Morning Stream.
Where did you get that haircut? In the Army? This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I can't seem to get my poo together this morning. What's going on?
No kidding. The hell is wrong with you, Scott Johnson?
More fiber in the diet should take care of it.
Last day of being 52. Tomorrow you turn 53.
Oh, there are people who believe you when you say that. There are a couple of people at least who think that that's true. It's not true. It's fine. You know what? You convinced me yesterday. I'm going to embrace my age. All right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to regret it or avoid it or any of those things. I'm going to embrace it. Tomorrow I turn the ripe, emphasis on the word ripe, old age. Well, ripe middle age of 44 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom just turned 75, which is even more shocking. Mm-hmm. And she's in her 70s. She doesn't feel like she's in her 70s. Mm-hmm. 44, man. That seems like a weird number.
Does she care about age as much as her son? Like, did she raise you to have this?
Yeah, I think it bugs her too.
Unholy fear
of getting older,
increasing numbers.
Yep, I actually think I kind of got it from her. Most of my proclivities toward irrational thinking, whatever those may be for me, I think most of that came from my mom.
Come from your mother. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Call her out right here.
Well, you know, we've had conversations about it. She, you know, she's the one that, like, there was a very pivotal moment in my childhood, I think, impacted the rest of my life pretty soundly. And it was when I was age 2. I have some memory of this. Earliest memories I have, honestly, on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have too many memories between 2 and about 10. So maybe this experience has something to do with that. But apparently...
Blacked out.
So back in the 70s when I was a baby, they didn't have seatbelt laws like they have now. And so a lot of cars, especially my dad's cars, did not have seatbelts in them. It's just the way things were. And baby restraints.
If we liked it that way.
If we did, bub. We didn't roll with it. We didn't hold with it. We don't hold with straps that keep me down, bub. keep me alive, I guess. But anyway, they didn't have like the baby restriction stuff. They didn't have baby seats. They didn't have, face them toward the back and put them in the back seat. Like none of that existed. So my dad would drive and my mom would sit in the front seat. Nobody's got belts on and I would be in my mother's lap. This sounds crazy to modern day people. You hear this and you go, what? When did this time exist?
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember it clearly.
Yeah. It existed a mere 35, 40 years ago. All right. So we've only gotten all weird in the last few decades. or smart. Depends on your point of view. But I sit in my mom's lap. And what happened is my dad was in traffic or whatever, and somebody stopped real suddenly in front of him. So he slams on the brakes in his 1968, whatever the hell car it was, some giant boat of a car, right? Mm-hmm. And I launch forward out of my mom's lap and smack my head on the dashboard.
Oh my God.
I still have a scar up there, which you can't see on camera. It's too faint to see there.
Yeah, five little dents from the buttons on the AM radio.
Well, worse than that. So I think I don't know what I hit. I must have snagged something less blunt and something sharp, and I bled all down my face. So imagine a 2-year-old, blood just gushing everywhere. And apparently I didn't cry, which made her worry more because then she thought, oh no, you know, his brain has been sloshed to the front, and now he doesn't even know, you know, he's brain damaged now. So she had a complete panic freak out, tell my dad to get to the hospital. Honestly, it was just a small cut and it was bleeding bad, but I was fine otherwise. They took me there. I got little stitches or whatever they did back then. Grab a handful of dirt and rub it on it. I don't know what they did in the early 70s, something like that. And everything turned out to be fine. But I think her freak out embedded itself into my memory because that's what I remember. I don't remember hitting myself. I don't remember hurting. I don't remember any of these things.
I remember your mom freaking out.
I remember her freaking out about it and then thinking, like later on, thinking, oh, well, maybe that's why I see something that isn't freak. I on the surface looks freak outable, but really isn't if I just think about it for a second. I don't know why this is all confessional morning Tuesdays here, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's some of that. I think we've talked to Wendy about it. Why I catastrophize a little bit is because of stuff like that. I think
the baby was a Scott Johnson. Sydney, the baby was a Scott Johnson.
She had to smother that chicken on the bus. A little chicken rooster. Wow. It was. Anyway. So there you go. That's my and this is fun in the other way, which is just to say what my first memory is. So now I'm going to ask you, what is your very first memory? Do you have one?
Yes. And I can't tell you how old I was. I want to say probably 4, 5.
Okay.
And talk about, you know, again, it was a different time back then as far as you know, what parents would do.
Yep. National safety standards and whatnot.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So it was my mom and I living in an apartment. This is after the divorce. My parents got divorced when I was about 1.
Okay.
And so we moved into an apartment in Edgewater.
Okay.
And earliest memory, and I would say this has to be, I can't believe it would be any earlier than 4.
Okay.
For whatever reason, my mom had to step out for a few minutes, like run to the grocery store, pick something up. And when you're a single parent, it's totally understandable these days to leave a 12-year-old alone, you know, 13-year-old alone. Maybe not so much a 4-year-old.
Right, right.
But back then, again, you know, different time,
different
I guess,
time,
different,
right?
different things.
Yeah.
I remember when she left. The cure, and again, you remember the aftermath, not necessarily the actual event itself. But I, for some reason, thought, oh, well, this is my perfect opportunity to check out matches and fire and what that kind of stuff is.
Oh, okay, woo! This will leave a memory. What'd you do? So, you didn't burn the house down or something? Weird
I did
like
not
that?
Burn the house down.
All right.
No, actually, I you know, my mom was a smoker, and so I got her book of matches, and I had watched how she lit them. So I pulled one out of the pack and closed the close the cover before striking. Of course,
of course.
I'm no dummy.
Man, you are a conscientious 4-year-old.
Yes, and I dragged the match across the strip there on the matchbook. And it lit up, and I looked at that thing and freaked out. Like, oh, my God. Like that, you know, it's that, I imagine a Neanderthal man discovering fire.
Yeah, the first, the caveman is like,
holy crap,
what the,
oh
dude, Grog, get over here. You need to see this. Yeah, but you didn't even have that.
And I blew it out and threw it in the sink and was like so freaked out about doing that. Like, number one, definitely breaking a rule. Like, I know that. I knew then that what I was doing was wrong, but I was like kind of taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
And I remember like my mom got home and I think she, you know, which because of circumstances, she's probably had to leave me at home alone before.
Right.
But at that moment she came home and I just gave her the biggest hug. I think I was probably crying a little bit.
Aww.
Like, you know, just the thought of probably what could have happened or almost getting in trouble or whatever. But, freaked me out.
A little bribe.
Fire bad.
Almost burned down apartment, Mom. Well, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad that worked out.
Yes.
Did she know ever? Did you tell her?
I think I told her like, you know,
when you got a little
20
older.
Years ago or something. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't, or you know, even like when I got married, saying, like, hey, by the way,
just so
do you remember
know.
That time you left me alone and you came home and I just hugged you really, really tight when you got home?
Yeah,
yeah, it's because I lit a match.
Did she remember this? It was like a memory for her?
I think she did, yeah. But she's apparently runs in the family. My Uncle George, who is getting married in about a week and a half.
That's right. I've met my Uncle George. He's awesome.
Yes, he actually got a – when he was a kid, they're about 6 years apart, brother and sister.
Yeah.
And she had to babysit him. frequently when my grandparents would go out, and he apparently had gotten a new fire truck set. And he wasn't as conscientious as I was about fire. Mm. He just thought it'd be really cool if his new fire truck set could actually put out a real fire in the basement.
Wow.
So he started a little fire underneath the stairs. Like, we had this little closet area where I guess he would play. And he set a little fire and melted some of his firemen and caused some burn damage to the inside. And doggone it, that little fire truck never put out that fire.
Oh, as advertised or as not advertised
exactly.
Or something. Wow.
There's clearly a picture on the box of those firemen putting out a fire, and it certainly didn't do that.
Well, it's fun being kids, you know? You do what you got to do. You smack your head, your mom panics, and it makes the rest of your life feel panicky. Great. Thanks, Mom.
I'm surprised there is no poop relation. I mean, nope. It would be great to find something that happened that has to do with poop.
No, I had...
You pooped your pants when you hit the dashboard.
And that's why I fear, like, crapping on a plane or whatever? Right, that's an interesting point. She never said, and I don't recall. Maybe she pooped her pants. I don't know.
Next time you talk to her, just ask her if there, or maybe you've already asked her this. Are there any, did I ever have any issues like with poop that, you know, maybe I don't remember from age 2 to 10, some sort of traumatic experience?
Well, in the early 70s, we used to bathe our children in it. We'd go out to the yard and we'd get dog poop. We'd mash it up and make a nice paste.
One time you fell down the hole in a porta potty.
There's that time in Schindler's List when you were trapped down there and you were trying to stay away from the Nazis. Not. Anyway, so there you have it. There's a little look into our childhood this morning. Hope you all enjoyed it.
Confession Tuesday.
Hey, check it out. Speaking of confessions, this is a great transition. The news channel that did all those terrible racist names and said they were...
Speaking of confessions, right.
Big time confession. Right. These guys said sorry. Let's just hear a tiny piece of this. A little bit of...
Tonight we want to take a moment and say that we are sorry. Earlier today, during our new newscast, we misidentified the pilots in the Asiana Airlines crash. We made several mistakes.
What? The pilots?
The pilots.
I know. But
he said pallets. We misidentified powits.
It's like Elmer Fudd all of a sudden to powits.
You know what? We're going back. I want to hear him say that again. Here it is.
Airlines crash. We made several mistakes when we received this information. New newscast. We misidentified the powits in the.
Oh my gosh, he did.
The powits.
The powits.
You're very, very quiet. I'm about to apologize.
Oh, it's nearly worse because he's trying to make up for what they screwed up saying, and now he's screwing it up again. All right.
We're going to issue an apology today.
Yeah. We are
sorry.
I want
to apologize for our insensitive way of mispronouncing the word pilots.
We had just watched some Looney Tunes and were in the mood for Elmer Fudd. We apologize. We shouldn't have done that. All right. Here's more.
A very scathing letter from Barbara Walters. Right. We do wish to apologize.
Barbara Wawa. All right, here's more.
An airline's crash. We made several mistakes when we received this information. First of all, we never read the names out loud, phonetically sounding them out.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I looked at those names.
Look,
you don't even have to sound them
you
out.
You don't have to say them out loud.
Holy Fook. You can look at that and figure out what's going on there.
Yeah, maybe some of the early ones, like something wrong, Wong or something. Maybe.
Not even that one.
Maybe. I'll give him one. But the rest of those, come on now. Come on now. All right, there's more.
Then during our phone call to the NTSB, where the person confirmed the spellings of the names, we never asked that person to give us their position within the agency. We heard this person verify the information without questioning who they were, and then we rushed the names onto our new newscast.
All right. All you're doing, this isn't sorry. This is just you saying we don't know how to do. We are terrible at news.
Exactly. Yes.
Everything is.
We have a number for the NTSB, and whoever answers the phone, we have.
No, this is just bad practices. This is just we are not good at our jobs.
It's making them look worse. You know,
it's really bad, man. And you should see the YouTube list of how many people have posted this like wrong pronunciation thing. Anyway.
Sure. I'm surprised one of the names on the list wasn't Baba Booey.
This is too good. And then don't read the comments on YouTube. Holy smackeroli. Oh. It's like a big, huge racist fest in there.
Oh, jeez.
Come on. Just Google at some point. Just go, you know, you guys, maybe we shouldn't have comments. You think that ever comes up? I know there'd be like a revolt, right? Like people would freak out and I don't know what they'd do. What are you going to all
You're
leave YouTube?
Taking away my freedom of speech. I really wanted to call that video gay.
That's right. I was going to call it gay. And I was going to call the guy that said it wasn't gay. I was going to call him a quote unquote homo. That's what I was going to do. And you've censored me.
That's right. My right. You've taken away my right to free speech.
It would actually really set a cool precedent because more and more, I think more websites should just lay down the law and go, no, this is you coming into my house and urinating on my couch. So get out of here.
I have the right to say you can't be in my house anymore.
Yeah, get out of here. I mean, they ban videos for content. Why don't they ban comments for content? I don't understand that. Yeah. I know there's a lot of them. It's either on or off. You can't go comment by comment. I don't think they can moderate. I do think that's a nightmare and you'd have to hire a staff of thousands to even deal with it. Mm-hmm. So either decide that
then you'd end up with a moderator who says, well, all right, you know, in hindsight, I guess that video is gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying, oh, allow that one.
That video is kind of gay.
Well, it does feature Neil Patrick Harris. I'm not sure what the commenter was trying to say here.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, imagine that actually be kind of fun to go find the worst comments ever and then rephrase them to be said as if it was like some stuffy British guy talking. Right. Here's how you do it. You either shut them off or you use some of your fancy Google search algorithms, which are, you know, pretty impressive. Like right now, Gmail now has that tab system. So it knows if something's just a promo and it puts it in the right category for me now. Like all this, they are good at this. So do that with comments. Oh, this one has the word, this combination of words, which doesn't matter how you slice it, that's a terrible thing.
It always comes out. Yeah, exactly.
So right. Kill those comments or hide them or something.
Put the onus on the person who uploads the video. Make them, you know, basically they can give them a checkbox to either moderate comments off, or allow everything.
Right.
And
look, we've solved the world's problems in one fail switch. Yes. I'm pretty impressed. Film Sack is up. Go watch Small Soldiers. We had a ball with that episode. The movie kind of blows, but the episode was fantastic. Also, I have a quick recommendation, and then we're going to call Daryl.
Okay.
I watched Prohibition, or I'm still watching. I'm on part three. By Ken Burns documentary. It came out in 2011, I want to say. I think so. If you like Ken Burns documentaries, it is fantastic. It just talks about the temperance movement and everything that led to an amendment to the Constitution that said no alcohol in this country and what that did to organized crime, what ordinary law-abiding citizens did to get by who still wanted a drink here and there, and also just kind of what alcohol meant then versus what it means now. It's a fascinating watch. Really dug it.
Interesting.
Am digging it, I should say. So if you like Ken Burns at all, if you like the Ken Burns effect, then I recommend watching Prohibition.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't like the Ken Burns effect?
Yeah, it's really good. It reminded me how much...
That's a good name for a music group, by the way. The Ken Burns effect.
Ooh, the Ken Burns effect. That's not bad. Jazz, though. That'd be jazz. Here's the thing, though. I don't know what it is. There's something in me that craves historical knowledge. I love it. I always excelled in history. That was one of my favorite subjects. And I don't know why. There's something about it that just takes me out of the present, and I just love learning about stuff that's and really learning about it, not just surface level internet crap. Like, well, I heard that President Taft used to masturbate on Wednesdays. Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, oh yeah, there would be no prohibition without this giant women's movement in the South that traveled around and picketed these saloons, and a couple of them got shot. Like, I love the minutiae and the deep like meta game going on in history, where we're not just glossing over it like most people do. I really like that. All right, moving on. Let's call Daryl, because that was all kind of boring.
Prohibition.
Prohibition, everybody.
Wasn't boring. I think it's cool.
You know, it's interesting. To some. Yeah. I'm sure some people are out there going, oh, yeah, yeah, that's real good. And there are other people going, what the hell have I tuned into?
Move on to the funny. Move on to the funny voices and when you make fun of stuff.
Yeah, right? Okay. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Good morning. Good morning. In the news this morning, everybody, good morning. Today is my awesome daughter's 7th birthday. Rhea is a budding gamer and TMS soundboard fan, and she is the light of my life. Aww. She is also an entrepreneur. Check out her original jewelry designs at pretty-girl.us.
Aww. That's great, cute. Nice domain, too.
That is a nice domain. Thank you for getting that before somebody horrible got that domain and did something terrible with it.
Well, a lot of people like that .us stuff, and they try to spell words with it. So you can call this pretty girlless.
Right. Scandalous.
Scandalous. Right. Delicious. Remember that trend? It was annoying. I didn't like it.
Yes.
I didn't like it at all. I'm glad it's over.
Is it over? Don't hold with it, Bob.
Yeah, I don't hold with it. I don't hold the domain.
I'm sure it's not over. I mean, anything you can put an OUS at the end of, you'll just, you know, people will use that.
I don't hold with names that make me think of words.
Incredulous.
Oh, geez.
Which is really incredulo.us.
Oh,
Visit me on the web.
I see what you did. Daryl, are you there?
Or anything Greek.
Or anything Greek? Wait, why? What? How? Explain.
.us.
Oh, is that a Greek thing? They always have
Flavius Maximus.
Oh, got it. Maximus. Yeah, you could do Maximus and then have a website dedicated to Russell Crowe and his fine work on the film Gladiator, which is awesome.
Polonius.
I could watch Gladiator once a week. I really could. Man, I love that
movie. I haven't seen it since, I think I haven't seen it since I got the DVD right when it came out. So I think that's one to bring back out.
So good. Is that, I don't know if that's on Blu-ray, but I would buy that on Blu-ray.
It's got to be on Blu-ray.
Got to be, right? Wouldn't it be?
Yeah. Come on now.
What are we even talking about that for? Of course it's on Blu-ray. Somebody in the chat room research that real quick. I want to get it. I'm going to pick that up. All right. Because you guys are my slaves and you should do what I say. Daryl, it's great to be back with you. Not less than about 12 different times did I get told either by direct reply on Twitter or via email that Orange is the New Black is a must see and B, that Janeway is stealing the show. That she's just amazing.
Wow.
Can you believe people are talking this way about Kate Mulgrew? I think that's awesome. She's hitting her Shatner. Yeah. She's hitting that late Shatner career period where he was on Boston Legal and making everybody laugh and winning Emmys and stuff. Remember that? Remember when Shatner did that?
Yeah.
Well, now it's Kate Mulgrew's time to shine. Her chance to be awesome. When are we going to get the great epic drama from Cisco? When's he going to come and go? Jake.
The original dramatic series.
Yeah, me and Jake, it'll be called. Tuesdays with Jake.
It'll be him and Shatner, and it'll be Jake and the Fat Man.
We're done. We've completed.
Yep. Goodbye, Daryl. That was fantastic.
Do at this point, that'll be better than that.
Whole show can end right this second. All right, Daryl, let's get to it. We got a movie question for you, Star Trek. I know we rarely do these, but here it is. In the movie Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, which recently got sacked on the live film Second Spectacular 2013, Spock's body is launched at the Genesis planet in a photon torpedo tube, or as I like to call it, the big Ray-Ban case, because it looks like a sunglasses case. What kind of photon torpedo is Spock's body fired in? Is it the Mark III, the Mark IV, the Mark V, or the Mark VI?
Oh, I believe it says it actually on the Ray-Ban sunglass case itself.
You are correct. Yeah. You're correct. It says Ray-Ban and then mark something on there.
That's right.
So I think there are two things are happening here. One, this is an interesting question and kind of a hard one, I think. And it tests your mettle as a fan of the movies or not. But I also think that Mike was trying to trip me up with Roman numerals, and it didn't work. It's like the world to notice. It did not work. It didn't screw me up. Mm-hmm. I knew all of them. Okay? All right. It's not like, these aren't Super Bowl numbers where it's like X, I, I, what, X, right. V, what? You know, it's not like that. All right, so Daryl.
Let's start bringing the C's and the D's and the L's in there. Come on now.
Now, here's the deal. Tomorrow, I didn't bring any food down here because they're all in boxes that are unopened yet, but I got a stack ton of stuff yesterday.
Oh, good.
So instead of breaking into those just yet because we're not really prepared for that, did either of you get... I don't know when I got these. Maybe they were at Nerdtacular. Maybe it came in the mail. But I got a Dextro Energy stack of like German like candy things.
Like, put one up on camera. Let me look at it.
They look like this. They came in this little stack.
And then wait 7 seconds for me to see it.
Yeah, wait for the delay. Yeah. Did it look familiar at all?
I did not get anything that looks like that.
Okay,
that looks like a medical dietary supplement.
It does. It looks like a chalky thing an old person would take to get regular again. Oops.
Right.
That fell out there. So I don't know if you've got anything weird and random that I don't have there, but maybe this is a good time to get this out and then one.
Yeah, you know what? I think I got some stuff that because did Kim bring – so we sent Kim and Tina up to the room. I think you and I were signing stuff, and we sent Kim and Tina up to the room to divvy out all the food. And they divvied out the cheese curds.
Yeah.
I don't know if they divvied anything else out because didn't we have like beef jerky and
Well, jerky – oh, I do have this jerky here from my swarm, but he says he gave you it. Gave you this stuff separately. Did you not get that from him?
Oh, did
I? Don't we probably should have figured this out before the show. I wasn't thinking.
That's all right. All right. So I do have some stuff from Yagavos.
All right.
That I'll eat one of these. It is a dip dab.
Dip dab. Dip dab.
Did you get one of these? A dip dab? It's a little, it's like a.
It's a flash animation they do every year for the presidential.
Dip
dab. Dip dab.
So it's a lollipop that you dip in sugar. Oh my God, this is going to be.
Oh, well, that's a lot like this. These energy bar things, they're like that stick candy.
Oh. Okay.
That's what they remind me of. So, all right, well, then here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Here we go. I'm going to break this in half. Daryl, I wish I could give you one because it seems like something you'd like. I don't know why. Just feel that way. All right. I'm not going to eat the whole thing. It's full of caffeine, I guess. But it's all in German, so I can't really tell.
Okay. So it's like a lollipop that's just covered with powder here.
This has something called Doom Zucker in it. Doom Zucker.
This looks like something that Miguel Ferrer would have snorted off a hooker's...
Yes. butt. Off a hooker's yes. All right, here we go. All right. Yeah, it's like a Smartie, but with energy in it. With Doom Zucker. Oh, and felt. There's 1 gram of felt. Now, that's probably German for something else. At least I hope so. Jeez.
Cat hair.
Yeah. It's German for cat hair.
Yeah. No, it's not felt. It's cat hair.
You want some cat hair? We call it felt.
Russian, not German.
This is what we call it. It is taken from cat's hair. All right. So there you go. That's good. I enjoyed it. I have so much energy now.
Say
all
that.
All right, good. Thank you for that.
All that damn sugar.
Y'all can email us if you have food testing you want us to do, and we'll give you an address, and you can send them to all 3 of us, or 2 of us, or 1 of us, or none of us, or all of us, or whatever you want. All right? All right. There's no rules. Just work this out. All right, Daryl, birthdays.
Ice Worm says the jerky was for your birthday.
Oh, was it? Oh, that was nice. Well, then I'll just eat it. I was going to save it, but I'll eat it.
Yeah.
I'm eating it today. Thanks, Mike. It's
birthday jerky.
Berkey is what it is. Berkey. Get a little bit of Berkey. All right.
Ooh.
That was me separately. That wasn't me right now. All right. So, by the way, someone asked in the chat room what this was.
To discriminate.
That's Senator Ted Stevens during his big...
It's a series of tubes.
That whole speech.
Oh, is that guy. Yeah.
Still one of the greatest verbal train wrecks in the history of mankind, I said on Twitter yesterday, I stand by it. It's so good. I went and listened to the whole thing again. It is so good. So bad, so good. All right, Daryl, birthdays. Who's celebrating and why should we care? Who is it?
Well, besides you, it's Felix Locker, who would have been 131 today.
Holy crap!
He played an old man named Robert Johnson on The Deadly Years, that one where they all got old.
Oh, TOS though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was real bad makeup.
And this guy was supposed to... He was supposed to have actually been a really young guy, but he aged really fast.
Right, I remember this now.
And this guy was born in like 1882 or something in the cowboy days.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that there are people in Star Trek that grew up during my favorite period in U.S. history. I think that's fantastic. 131, wow. How old did he, when did he die? Wow. What age?
He died at age 86 in 1969 while the TOS was still on the air.
Oh, my gosh. I was just getting pooped out. That's amazing. all right. Well, happy birthday to that guy.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My gosh.
I don't know what I was going to say.
I don't either. I'm sure it was.
Oh, he died. Okay. Yeah. He died as you were born. That's what I was
gonna say. Yeah. When I was pooped out. Mm. Yeah. There you go. All right. Brilliant.
But.
All right. I like it when he stutters for some reason. I laughed out loud 3 times when I heard this yesterday.
To discriminate.
It just made me laugh. I kept laughing. All right.
Tom Merritt's out there going, pa, I did it better.
Yeah, he did. Longer and better. All right, so there you go. Happy birthday to him. Back to your question. Let's get back on this. The Mark III, the Mark IV, the Mark V, or the Mark VI. What's your guess? Not your guess. What's your educated understanding? Your knowledge.
Well, I remember seeing this a zillion years ago. I think I only watched this movie maybe twice in my whole life. But I remember the big giant black pill, and I think it said IV on the side.
Mm.
Mark IV.
Could be.
So interpret that as being a... Hmm?
Yeah.
The Mark IV.
Oh, the Mark IV. I see. He's phonetically spelling it out. Yeah, Brian's doing. So wait a minute, though. Would we have seen it also in Wrath of Khan? And we might have, right? I assume it was the same glasses case.
I imagine continuity, you would make sure that
if
you used one at the end, you'd use another one at the very beginning of the next film.
Want to hear my impression of Captain Kirk at the end of that movie? Here it is. He was the most human. There you go. That's my impression. Daryl, let's find out if the judges agree with you. You say it's the Mark IV, which would be the Mark... What would that be? That'd be the 4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is it the Mark IV?
Nah.
Oh, it's the Mark VI. It's the Mark VI. You just had him
looking
just
at it upside down.
Yeah, you had Tom Cruise read it and then tell you what it was. Mark, that's a terrible joke. Mark, the Mark VI torpedo. His body is fired inside of a Mark VI photon torpedo. Also in the Bible, Mark VI rather, relates to the raising of John the Baptist from the dead. So there's your reference. This was to be the question at Nerdtacular, and if Daryl had phone or internet access, here's a clip of Doc Brown and TJ Hooker about to throw down. All right, here you go.
Genesis, I want it. Beam the Vulcan up, and we'll talk. Give me what I want, and I'll consider it.
You fool, look around you. The planet's destroying itself.
Yes, exhilarating, isn't it?
If we don't help each other, we'll die here.
Perfect. And that's the way it shall be.
Wow. That's some...
Doc, are you telling me you put a time machine in a Federation-class starship?
Marty! Exhilarating! All right. That's just terrible dialogue. So there you go, Daryl. You would have gotten that wrong on stage in front of a whole ton of people.
I'm glad I wasn't there then.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Daryl's the Trek Nerd, everybody. On Twitter, follow him. The Trek Nerd. He's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, give us a quote. What do you got?
Let's see. Even burned and cracked, they're beautiful. Destroying them was a shame.
Burned and cracked.
Burned and cracked, they're beautiful.
Say
Picard.
Yeah. He likes the lovely things in life.
They're talking about hands.
Who? Oh, crusty hands.
They're talking about what?
Oh, he's not talking about crusty hands. Like they ever referred to him directly.
Even burned and cracked are beautiful.
All right, I'm going to say Crusher.
Actually, they're not talking about cues. I don't mean to throw you off.
No, we know.
Of course they're not.
Yeah, we know. I made that crusty hand thing up. If they were talking about it, that would be rad. That would be the greatest thing I ever heard. All right, so who's right?
Nobody. It was Spock.
Damn it, Spock. You and your green blood, you green-blooded alien farthead. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. Do you like WoW, but not so hot on its crazy news cycle? Look no further than my YouTube channel at bit.ly/WoWShow, featuring 2 to 3 videos a day, including a daily WoW news show, add-on reviews, guides, and more, beamed to you daily from my super secret Irish bunker. The 2,000 subscriber mark draws near, and there will be giveaways of WoW swag and Steam games. Mm. bit.ly/WoWShow. Bub would really hold to it. Totally. Bub would totally hold to it.
Of course he would. Because it's not furniture that talks.
All of a sudden, I've gone from old miner to leprechaun.
I like it. Either way. How about old miner to leprechaun? Then what? Then what do we get?
I wouldn't hold to it, Bub.
I found my pot of gold, but I don't hold to it. Here we go. Let's see. Seattle police. Arrest a man who crashes child's parties, eats the pizza, and takes the balloon animals with him.
Mm.
They arrested a man who crashed an 8-year-old child's party. or 8-year-old child's party, ate several pieces of pizza and took balloon animals, two of them to be exact. Parents told police they asked the 28-year-old man to leave after he joined the children's party at Green Lake on Wednesday evening. However, police say the shirtless, shoeless man refused and got into a very heated exchange with family at the party. The families called police. In the release on their website, police say the man appeared to be under the influence of a potent relaxant of some kind.
Mm.
Better than a potent, what's the word? A laxative.
Accelerant?
Yeah, accelerant. officers first checked to see if the man needed medical attention, then arrested him for investigation of theft. It's kind of weird, these guys that just wander into stuff. I remember, I have video of this. We were downtown at the Gateway. You've been there, I think. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that nice mall, yeah.
Yeah, and across from where the Apple Store used to be, they've moved that up to a different thing. But there's this big fountain, and they have music that goes off, and it's a synchronized fountain music thing. And this drunk guy came out there and just started stripping in the middle of it. And there were about 30 kids all running around, getting wet. It's the middle of summer, you know, having fun. And this guy's out there kicking his shoes off, and the shoes are going like 20 feet in the air, and he's ripping his shirt off, and he's dancing, and he accidentally ran into a pole and came back out in the middle, and he's laughing. I mean, clearly just drunk out of his freaking mind. And it took a good, I don't know, 20 minutes of that before police did anything.
Really?
Or anyone did. Yeah,
it
was like, guys, this guy is weird and... like a danger to himself and others.
The children. And,
yeah.
Yes.
Get them the hell out of there. And they finally did. So.
By the way, you mentioned shirtless, shoeless man.
Yeah.
And his power.
Oh, his border powers. What are they?
He's able to play long sets of music like Under the Bridge and Give It Away while wearing a sock on his unit. Excelsior.
I didn't know you'd go to Anthony Kiedis and crew.
Shirtless, shoeless man.
That's pretty good.
There's a whole group of them.
Wiener sock.
Is Children's Party Crashers the new film starring Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson?
Yeah, like, produced by Happy Madison.
Be a thing?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Exactly. New Mexico mom. New Mexico mom. What's she have? What's her power?
Able to buy methamphetamines from a guy in a Winnebago.
Thanks, Breaking Bad, for forever turning New Mexico into meth town. New Mexico mom struck by lightning gives birth.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Check this out. A pregnant New Mexico woman has survived a bolt.
Probably fires that baby out of her like,
boom.
Like a cannon.
Yep. And it's Jamie, what's his name?
It's Jamie Foxx.
It's Jamie Foxx, turns out. He's Electro now.
Right.
Let's see. She survived a bolt from the blue to give birth to a bouncing baby girl. Authorities say Kendra Villanueva. Thank you.
Villanueva.
There you go.
That means new village.
And does it really?
New house.
No, it doesn't. Does it really?
New house. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Nueva is new.
Kendra Newhouse.
Villa is house.
Oh, Kendra Newhouse. Okay.
Kendra Newhouse.
That's a decent, that's a real name. Like a, you hear that in English. Anyway.
This is a great origin story, but keep going.
Okay. The baby's father, Ian Gordon, which sounds like a fake comic book dad name. We're watching fireworks with friends on July 4th when lightning struck both of them in the front yard of their Albuquerque home. They reported Villanueva Newhouse was just weeks from her due date and was rushed to University of New Mexico Medical Center, where she had emergency cesarean section. Mother, father, and baby survived relatively unscathed. The couple named the baby Kimberly Samantha Rose Gordon and said they'll also call her Little Flash Gordon.
Ah, nice.
That's a dumb reference, though, because he's got nothing to do with lightning, but whatever.
But Flash.
Yeah.
Flash and lightning, come on.
Flash,
I mean,
sort of.
It's more appropriate than being a quarterback for the New York Jets. Come on.
They could have called her Zap or Electro Light or something. I don't know.
Right.
Something.
Glitter.
Glitter.
Glitter Gordon.
Glitter Gordon.
that'll be her superhero name is Glitter.
By day, she's Glitter Gordon. Or no, by night, she'd be that. Anyway, Ian Gordon says the new parents are hoping their new daughter will run fast or save the universe, he says. I like that it's run fast or save the universe.
Or save the universe. Well, you can't do both.
The hell kind of answer is that? That's terrible. What are you hoping for your new daughter? Mike in the face. I hope she will run fast or save the universe.
She'll save every one of us.
Yeah.
She'll save every one of us.
All right. Enough of that fun.
That's awesome. I mean, isn't that, couldn't you just see that in a comic book though? Like, what's your origin story? Oh, my mom was struck by lightning as she was giving birth to me.
Yeah, that's a great thing to be able to tell people.
If that hasn't been used already, I'm amazed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And by the way, her when she texts her mom to let her know she's home and okay, this is the sound it'll make.
Ah!
There you go. That's the one.
Very good.
Get in touch with me. I'll get you that file. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's program. Man, we love these guys. We talk about them every day, but I want to just take a second to say how great they are to work with. It's not just that they're helping you and saving you money, but how I get to interface with them and sort of create a functional relationship with them is such a freaking breeze, and that just kind of transcends everything they do. That's the kind of company they are. They're focused on one thing, giving you great earbuds to replace the garbage that came with whatever device you have. If you don't like that Android, Samsung, Note 2 headphone thing they gave you,
here's a tip. They give you the crappiest headphones when you buy those smartphones.
Yeah,
you
they do.
Replace them with something better.
That's right. I mean, I don't mind the Apple ones. I think they're all right, the new ones, but I don't, you know, they don't sound like my Tweaked Audios do.
They don't fit as comfortably as my Tweaked Audios. That's the thing. It's like for long, you know, times on the treadmill, forget the ear pods. I want something that fits in my ear a lot better, and the Tweaked Audio fits in my ear really nice.
Yeah, it's a good fit for Brian's
ear. It looks like I have wood sticking out of my ear with the Tweaked Naturals. That's what I use.
Tweaked Naturals, that's right. Or you can get, I don't know, maybe the black Tweaked Classic or the silver Tweaked Regular or the Tweaked Mic Classic in the blue tone. Whatever you want. Great for music and talk. Lifetime warranty on all of it. They'll back everything up, and you just save some damn money. 33% off using the code STREAM at checkout. That's at tweakedaudio.com. That's tweakedaudio.com and the code STREAM. All right.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
We're tackling the enormous problem that is drunk driving by launching a unique product, SoberSmart, a tiny, rechargeable breathalyzer that connects wirelessly to your smartphone and takes care of you or your children by being able to send a taxi to their exact location and even pay for their cab's fare directly from your smartphone when they use SoberSmart. Support us through our website or website at SoberSmart.com or directly on RocketHub.com. Thank you so much for your support, and let's together bring our children back home safely.
It's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea.
Yeah, I like that. A little prevention.
Sober smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little prevention never hurt anybody. They have these signs at the movie theater that say, don't text and drive. Zero fatalities. And the problem with it is the font they used for zero fatalities is exactly the same font they use for Coke Zero. And it just irritates me.
Oh, no, really?
It just irritates me. It's like, come on, you guys. You're messing with my branding brain.
At least it's not. At least it's not Comic Sans.
That's right.
We can help prevent drunk driving and save lives.
Clown font is what that is.
Clown font, it is.
J.K. Rowling, creator of the Harry Potter series of novels.
Yes.
I know it's Potter. Don't send me emails. I'm kidding. Writes a crime novel under a male pen name everybody thought was just some regular old release from someone they'd never heard of, but now that they know it's her, pre-orders have exploded. The world is on edge. In a truly neat trick, Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling has published a crime novel called The Cuckoo's Calling. It's a really annoying name. The Cuckoo's Calling. I don't like that at all. Under the pseudonym Robert Galbraith. Galbraith.
Galbraith.
Yeah. I don't like that name either. And she's kept it a secret from the world till now. Acting on a tip, the Sunday Times of London unmasked Rowling as the author of the critically acclaimed detective debut, which released in April. Well, I guess these aren't pre-orders. They're post-orders. It seems Rowling had a bit of fun. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What a coincidence that this is happening after sales for the book have declined.
Interesting. I mean, when she says that she wanted to be the book to be judged purely on the writing and not her legacy, I believe her. But I also know that her team of PR people in that know when an opportunity is hot to strike. I understand. So it's a bit of both for me. She's pretty genuine. Every time I've ever heard her talk about anything, I think she's straight up who she claims to be. And I think she really did want to do that, you know?
Gina read that Casual Vacancy, and I forgot to ask her what she thought of it. I think she's finished it.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask her what she thought, because that was the first...
Yeah, that was mixed. I remember that had mixed reviews. But that was under her name, so maybe this was the chance for her to say, well, let's just try this without everyone having expectations. Like, don't go in there going, oh, it's a Harry Potter writer. And
it's my first book of erotic fiction based on the characters from West Wing.
Some call it fan fiction. Wait until you see what I do with President Carlos Estevez. All right. Anyway, so she had a little bit of fun doing this. By the way, they profiled Galbraith on this website. So it was described as a little brown, Little Brown and Company's website as a former.
That's the publisher.
I was calling him a little brown man, which is terrible. I don't know why I was doing that. Former member of the Special Investigative Branch of the Royal Military Police, who left the military in 2003 and has been working since in the civilian security industry. That's who this guy was. I think pseudonyms are great. And my favorite thing is on NPR, they were interviewing a literary professor at some college and a guy who writes books. And he was talking about, oh, yes, she's revealed herself. And it's partly this and partly a publicity stunt and this and that and the other thing. And then goes, and then at the end of the interview, she goes, all right, thanks, so-and-so. Wait, actually, what do you do with your books? And he goes, oh, I have a. It's like some other name, like Hank Bill Perfect or some other name, where he does the same thing, but they just spent 10 minutes kind of criticizing her for doing it. So it's kind of funny. Right. I guess it's more common than people think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
There's actually only three writers in the world and just a bunch of pseudonyms.
Yep. Kind of cool. Anyway, I want to read it now. I mean, I'll admit that now I'm interested. I wasn't before. I hadn't even heard of it yet, to be honest. So here we go. Going to check it out. Katy Perry. You might be familiar with her. She's the one with she had those, her implants.
She has breasts that can shoot out things.
Yeah. Instead of going for like, oh, I just want big breasts or big plastic fake ones that'll last forever, I want ones that shoot fireworks from them. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to walk into a room and go.
Or whipped, dairy-free whipped topping.
Yeah. I want to be able to say, so long, suckers, and then go, beep, 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 just shoot everybody on my way out of a room.
Right, she's probably one that does oil slicks if she's in a car chase, and she can just kind of lean over the back of the car and.
Yeah, exactly. Just and then you know, the evil man has no chance.
All of a sudden, it's Spy Hunter.
Right, yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, Spy Hunter! I used to love that game so much. What was it about Spy Hunter? I don't even know why that was so good. What a great video game!
It was the variety of stuff, right? I mean, you had to go into. Drive into the back of a semi and you had to, you know, ram people off the road and you had the little spikes coming out of the side of your wheels. And there was just a good variety of stuff.
And the boat. It was just a boat.
Prior to that, our only driving games were just racing games. We didn't have anything else that you know, we didn't have road rage stuff.
All we had was like,
the Peter Gunn theme.
Yeah, like Peter Gunn theme. So good.
And
anyway,
another J. Martin. So
Katy Perry's beauty routine takes her an hour and a half. This is the kind of stuff I normally don't like to read, but I'm going to read it anyway. Mm-hmm. Whether she has whipped cream coming out of her, I won't say that word.
Look at you guys.
Jeez, my gosh.
Whoa.
I love that they put in the her with the parenthetical. Read that without it, and it's pretty funny.
Right. It's kind of bizarre, yeah.
Whipped cream coming out of boop. Or as paying homage to Joan of Arc, Katy Perry always looks pretty polished. I admit she's a lovely woman.
Yeah, she is. She looks like the slutty Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, a little bit. Like Zooey Deschanel had a little too much to drink last night, and now this is what you get.
Right, exactly.
Fortunately for anyone who's ever dared compare themselves to this flawless star, says the HuffPo, it turns out Katy Perry's or KP's perfection takes time, 90 minutes to be precise, as long as most movies. Promoting her new fragrance, which only took 35 batches to perfect, she says. Perry told Women's Wear Daily just how long it takes her to get ready. I'm more surprised there's a magazine called Women's Wear Daily. Really? Daily? Wow.
Daily.
right. Yeah. Anyway, 90 minutes. Does that seem
today
long?
Today it's blouses.
And tomorrow we'll be looking at socks.
We're everybody, at camisoles.
Tune in for T-shirts Tuesday next week.
Right.
I don't know why that accent's happening. Anyway, so women take a long time to get ready. I don't really think this is all that shocking. My daughter probably, when she's getting ready for a date, probably takes probably an hour. Mm-hmm. So What, you're telling me that Katy Perry's got the... I think the difference is Katy Perry's got like three people hovering over her to do it. It's not just her, right? It's not just her in some room.
Like a pit crew?
Yeah, she got help.
Who knows?
Veer, yeah, veer! Who knows? Taking off her tires, putting on new ones. Veer, veer!
She does, you know, you never really see her look, her makeup look bad. I mean, she does, yeah, she does know how to wear.
Even with it gone, like I've seen pictures of her with no makeup, she looks great.
She's a very pretty young woman.
I have a thing for women who don't wear makeup and can do it proudly.
Like, I have a thing for women.
I have a thing for women as well. Wait a minute. Somebody told me you're one of them gays. Somebody yesterday told me that I can't like this is an old friend of mine, so I know he's mostly kidding, but kind of isn't kidding. But I can't like Downton Abbey unless I'm gay, is what he told me.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he said that. Yep. You can't like that show unless you're totally gay. And he goes, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just saying you got to be different. Like, what? How is that A, not offensive, and B, I don't understand that. That's like saying you can't be so if you're a gay dude, you can't enjoy like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie or something.
That's goofy.
That's a stupid goofy thing to say. I think he was kind of half serious though. Anyway, I have to have a talk with him. Don't worry, I'll work this out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
I'll sit him down. Yeah, I'll sit him down. Give him a what for. All right, that's it. Let's take a break. When we come back, right, we'll have Fitness Geek here. We'll also have Jury Duty, and we'll also have a follow-up from the fine folks at the National Transportation Safety Board and their apology for the mix-up on the Korean pilot names. Hang on for that little piece of business. Before that, though, a song. What do you want to do? What do you got?
This one goes out to Mike from Louisiana, who writes in and says, "Dear Snack and Breakfast, sorry if this is a bit late. I'm turning 18 on July 16th and would love it if you could play a song for me. The morning stream introduced me to Miracles of Modern Science, and I would love if you could play a cover by them. If not, play whatever you like, or whatever you see fit. Love the show, though. Mike from Louisiana." So I think we played Pumped Up Kicks by Miracles of Modern Science before, and they've got a bunch of covers. They do She Drives Me Crazy. They do an incredible version of a little-known song by Left Banke called Pretty Ballerina, which I think has one of the best chord progressions of any song I've ever heard. It's twisty and really cool. Let's look it up, people. Pretty Ballerina by Left Banke, or the cover by Miracles of Modern Science. But I know how to play to the crowd. I know the audience, right? I know the people who listen to TMS. And I know you, Scott Johnson.
You do indeed know me.
And I know that if you saw this as among one of their covers that they did, you wouldn't pick any other cover to play on the show. So, Daft Punk's Get Lucky. Miracles of Modern Science, by the way, is a group that uses a ton of string instruments, violins, cellos, a big string. I guess that is a bass cello. No, they don't make a bass cello. What do they call that? Or is that just a plain old cello?
I think that's just like a cello, isn't it?
Yeah, one of those big bassy. Yeah. Anyway, that is a cello.
I think that's, I'm not 100. Cello. Now that you say it, I'm not 100% sure. Maybe there is a difference, but I think that's all that is.
I think that is, yeah. A string bass? Is it just a string bass?
String bass.
One that you don't pluck, a stand-up bass. I guess you can play that like a a string instrument.
Yeah, but can you play it like a violin? Imagine
double
a guy,
bass. Yes. Double
like
bass.
Hodor. Okay. Hodor could pick Christian Nairn could pick that up and stick it under his chin and take a big old bow and play it like a violin. And play Devil right. Went Down to Georgia for everybody. That's what he'd do. Anyway.
All right. So Miracles of Modern Science and their string-laced cover of Get Lucky. This is available as a download from their website. You just go to miraclesofmodernscience.com, and you can download all their covers for free right there. Here is Miracles of Modern Science and Get Lucky.
Sounds good to me. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute with Bill. Stay tuned.
Sun, we're up all night to get some. We're up up all night for good fun. From the beginning, to get lucky. We're up all night.
Every box is a bowl.
Your mission, kids, is to find crazy cartons.
You found crazy cartons. Looks like milk cartons. You have a different cereal every day.
You pour the milk in and eat any old bowl.
And crazy carton cereals are part of a balanced breakfast.
Crazy signs and crazy cartons. Enter at your own risk.
Pass messages through here.
No entrance.
One crazy sign in each specially marked package of Post Crazy Carton cereal.
It's very distressing.
I don't care. This is the morning stream.
Dip, 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 dip. Thanks, Scott Fletcher. Welcome back, everybody. Cool version of that song.
Yes, Miracles of Modern Science is the name of the group. And if you go to miraclesofmodernscience.com, you can download that song for free, as well as all their other ones, including that awesome cover of Pretty Ballerina. You'll love it. Download it.
We're Enjoy. Up all Mexican. We're up all Mexican. Mexican. Love that. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I think we waste no time bringing Bill Duran into the room and seeing if he's got anything to say on the subject of fitness, because that's when he does. Do I have a theme for him today? I think I do. Let's see. How about this one, since we don't want to eat bad food?
Wendy's Old Face and Hamburgers.
There you go. Hey, Bill, what's going on, man? What's going on?
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. How are you? How you feeling?
Doing okay. Go a little crazy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Everything's cool, though.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get ready in the morning? Like, you know, putting on, yeah. putting on your chin beard and.
you know what? My my Mass Effect armor, I could get that on like 10, 15 minutes. No problem.
Of course, no problem for you. Jeez,
see, you got nothing on Katy Perry.
Are you?
Katy Perry's got nothing on you. I should say.
I was gonna say, you are actually. Aren't you headed to San Diego Comic Con this weekend?
Sure am.
Okay, so this Iron Man, I didn't realize this, but when you brought your Iron Man arm and your little reactor thing through your shirt, that was just like you half-assing the real thing, which is going to be this huge full armor suit you're going to wear next week, right? Or this week, I guess.
Yeah.
Excited about that? How's that coming together?
I don't know how I feel about that right now. I've been up for the last week cutting up foam and gluing it.
Yeah. It's a bunch of work, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. In fact, I saw that Prohibition documentary because I'm watching all the documentaries on Netflix.
It's a perfect time to do that when you're working on stuff like that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What'd you think, by the way? It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it was extraordinary. Because when you go through that period in time in history class in high school, or like me, if you took U.S. history three times, and you got a triple dose of it, you're like, oh, Prohibition started for a while and then it ended.
Yeah.
And it's like one question on the test. But you go through it, you're like, holy crap.
There's so many layers,
to live through that time.
Well, it's like anything. Like we live in our time now, which will be, 100 years from now, will be history someone's studying. It's a very minutia-rich, twists and turns, crazy complicated, lots of shades of gray kind of thing. You have so many different points of view and so many different motivations, and it's never as simple as school made it seem. So when you see something like this that's really well done that way, you're like, oh man, that is a thick piece of business that went on with all of that. So he's a national treasure, dude. The day Ken Burns goes away is the day I mourn a little harder, because I don't know anyone else who's doing this. History Channel sure as hell isn't doing it. Because here's what History Channel does. Hitler was a bastard. Derp, derp, derp. And that was it.
Aliens.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like where that stuff's headed. I think it's bad for us to not have voices in our society that are willing to do a thing that to a 16-year-old probably seems super boring. Mm-hmm. But it's really important, I think, to maintain some level of care for that. And he's that guy.
The best part when you're watching something like that is when you start making parallels to what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible to watch that and not see what's going on with, like, laws against marijuana or whatever.
Yeah, the whole pot argument thing is totally reminiscent. But so part of the thing I'm walking away with is, like, nobody in the current debate is actually taking any time to revisit history and look at lessons learned or lessons lost or whatever.
What cracked me up was people in the 20s would go get a prescription for alcohol. Uh-huh. And I was like, that seems exactly like what people do for pot now. Mm,
yeah, and some doctors give away a few more than maybe they're supposed to. Mm, sounds familiar. Like, there are lots of parallels to the whole marijuana debate right now.
Easy.
So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to go on about that.
Oh, that's cool.
Love that stuff. So, the fitness, make us better. Help us be healthy. What's going on?
Well, I'm glad you actually emailed me a link about the best foods to eat after a workout.
Yeah.
Because then I had to do very little work to prepare.
Well, that's what I do. I'll send you a link and you just make up a segment about it. Sure. Why not?
And what's funny is if anyone's ever gotten just a link about something from Scott, it's a link. And the text of the email was something like, hey, or not even hey, just dude. And that's it.
I am so short with my email replies these days, or even original emails. I am so not a long email typer, man.
Oh, I love that too. I get people who send me their life story.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. So anyway.
So to the meat of the issue here, 14 things, the BuzzFeed thing, if you go look at BuzzFeed, 14 best things to eat after a workout. The idea is, after a workout, especially if you're doing any sort of heavy lifting, you need to recover. Your body needs the building blocks to start getting energy back and start repairing your muscles right away. Generally, you are totally out of energy after your workout. And this actually, you can actually be completely out of food in your body, and when your body needs to recover, it will actually take energy from your muscles and it will have the opposite effect that you're trying to do. So here's a bunch of stuff you should eat.
Okay.
All right. The first thing you should do is make sure you eat something, whatever it is, eat something.
Oreos. Oh, no?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, something.
Okay, got it.
It is likely that your body will process that sugar pretty quickly if you do eat Oreos.
My daughter actually said one night, I said, how many Oreos did you eat today? And she goes, oh, like 10. I'm like, sweetheart, that's terrible to eat that many. She goes, well, it was the white kind. It wasn't the black cookie with the white in the middle.
Really?
And I'm like,
oh, and that's supposed to be less calories.
Like, that's the healthy version of this? Like, what a weird thing to say. Anyway, still mad at her about that, but whatever.
All right, so eat something. Drink a lot of water. Drink a couple glasses of water, too. And then the kind of foods you want to go for are things like complex carbohydrates and proteins. Complex carbs will give you energy that you will burn throughout the rest of the day, and protein your body will use to repair those muscles.
Got it. So why do people always say chocolate milk? What's the benefit there?
I've never heard that
protein
before.
For sure, but that doesn't seem like.
It seems crazy. It seems crazy on the surface, but I've more than once seen or heard or talked to people. There's a trainer at my sister-in-law's gym that tells her that one of the best things you can do after a really big weight workout is drink, just slam down like a chocolate milk.
Is her trainer Paula Deen?
Maybe. I hadn't thought about that.
And you melted half a stick of butter.
That's right. Hey, Paula Deen, should I drink water or should I drink... Should I drink water?
No.
All right. Should I drink, I don't know, a lot of chocolate milk?
It's very distressing.
All right. Great. She's a two-note person. I can't get any other answers out of her.
Right. Right.
Yeah. All I can say is, what she is. I've never heard the chocolate milk thing.
Well,
that seems odd.
I did ask her if I should work on my glutes, and she said,
your butt is going to be mine.
There you go.
Nice.
That's the only other thing she says. Maybe that's bullcrap, but the idea is you want to get like protein back into your muscle structure, right?
So you can have things like eggs.
Yeah.
Eggs are low calorie, bunch of protein in them. Bananas will get you some good complex carbohydrates and potassium. Salmon or any like lean omega-3 rich proteins, usually in fish, is a good thing to have. Your body will gobble that stuff right up, start rebuilding those muscles.
What does the world think of the supplements these days, the fish supplements, the omega-3 oily pod things that I have in my kitchen? Are those any good?
What I always say about supplements is that it's likely that you can get all of that from your diet.
Yeah.
But if you either have a problem with that or you're lazy, then I guess you can just take the supplements.
Well, I can tell you that like fresh fish around here, it's trout in the when it's seasonal, and then that's it. Like we don't have access to like oceanic sort of fish, so it seems like maybe that's an okay idea to be eating a bunch of that in the winter or whatever.
Yep.
Maybe
if you're like me and you really really don't like salmon,
yeah,
you can get some supplements.
I don't like salmon either. Salmon's weird.
Yeah, not a fan.
Yeah, especially smoked salmon. Although on the barbecue, like on a big wooden hoo-ha. You can do some business there. That's not bad.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other stuff. I'll just rattle off a couple more.
All right.
Things like dried fruits and nuts, sweet potatoes, and fresh fruits like pineapple, blueberries, and kiwis that get you vitamin C and antioxidants, along with a bunch of sugar that you use for energy.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. You said that with such authority. I think I believe you, and I'm going to go get some.
That's because I read it straight from the article.
All right. And don't forget.
Lots of lather.
Don't forget. Lots of lather will help you as well.
Important. Right.
The most important.
So I actually have a sound clip for you because you have to wear an Iron Man suit this week. So here's that.
Of course, those papers would be too bulky to hide them in clothing anyway.
The bulky part. So when you go this week, what should be on people's minds as far as projects you're working on? The Kickstarter's over, yeah?
Oh, yeah, that ended. I might even get the money from that pretty soon, which would be exciting.
Yeah, that's always a fun process.
The best part is that it may land in my checking account right when I get to San Diego.
Yeah.
So I need to not spend that.
Yeah, try not to spend that all in one place, that being San Diego.
Yeah. No, that's coming up soon, and I posted a video update on my Kickstarter page about what the plan is over the next couple of months, because I probably won't be done with the project until December.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of work to do.
It's going to take a little while. Can I ask you a question about the con real quick? When you go in a suit like the Iron Man suit,
yeah,
are you mostly just cruising the floor the entire time, or are you queuing up in lines to hear panels in that suit? Like, what's your disposition at these things?
I don't wait in lines anyway because I'm impatient. So dressed up or not, I just walk the floor. I go mostly. I just have a list of people that I want to go find, friends that are there and people I want to meet, and I just go hunt the crowd for people.
All right.
And I get a lot of I cover a lot of space. People see me. I see other people. That's what I like to do. I don't like waiting in lines.
All right. So here's my last question: when you're there, can you go out of your way to try and say hi to Scott Kurtz? For me, he'll be there.
Write that down.
And Obsidian will be there this year.
I actually already have Obsidian and Derner already on my list.
Oh, good.
They're going to be in 132 in the webcomics area.
Yeah, but here's what you have to do. In your Iron Man suit, when you see sitting at his table, you walk up and you go, "Your tattoos look funny," and then run. Can you do that?
He knows who I am, though.
Oh, damn it. All right. Yeah. Well, forget it then.
It's a Dragon Con.
Yeah. He knows all about you. Well, great. This all sounds very exciting. Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprops.com for progress on everything that's going on, including the space prop gun, which is so exciting. I'm so glad that thing was successful for you.
I've been doing a series on YouTube too at youtube.com/punishprops on all of the Iron Man suit making goodness, including my slow descent into madness.
Yeah, I imagine. I don't know how you're doing it. But
I've been milling about with ideas in my head. I'm going to post a new video today about that. So that'll be coming down the pipe.
Excitement abounds in the household of Chinbeard. All right, man. Well, have a safe trip. Let us know how things go. I'm sure next week we'll get a nice update on how the experience was for you.
Hopefully I'll still be here.
All right. It's Bill Duran, everyone. See you later. Bye.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye. I'm such a yapper with him. I always want to talk about 12 different things, and I should just probably focus on the one. It's hard, because he's a fun guy to talk to.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Justin Robert Young, coming right up, folks. Hot slab of Mr. Young.
Wow.
A hot, sweaty, cantankerous.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Voluptuous slab.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Justin Robert Young.
True fact, I was standing alone in my apartment eating dried fruit and nuts, and Chinbeard said that was good to eat, and I fist pumped and said, nailed it, alone.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. You only do that because you get to share with the bird, right? Because it's the same source of food for both of you, just a bunch of nuts
exactly.
and berries. Yeah, that's great. Dr.
Here's
Bird.
A funny thing, and I'll put out a thing on his... because he has a Twitter account, because this is the fall of our civilization. But we have this thing in our doorway that we put up that he now likes to fly up to, but it's held up by one string, which he likes to bite.
Ooh.
Which is going to be really hilarious the one day that he bites it so much that it collapses the structure he's standing on. And our bird learns a really prescient lesson about physics.
Oh, yeah, he'll never forget it, or he will, and then just do it again when you put
or
it.
Or he will
on.
Immediately,
yeah,
because that is what a bird does: immediately right. forgets.
So I've never told you this, but when I went to see They Might Be Giants not long ago in concert, and they were fantastic. They played Dr. Worm,
yeah,
and all I could think of in my head, and since even hearing the song, I sing it in my head with Dr. Bird, not Dr.
That's,
Worm.
They called me
amazing.
Dr. Bird.
I'm really? Not an actual bird, but I am an actual worm, or whatever the hell that goes. But it's really part of the song now, and I can't stop. So thanks for that. I appreciate the whatever
well,
the hell
I'll
that
tell
is.
You what. Whatever I can do for you is something I am happy to do.
Okay, so Floridian, ex-Floridian, expat, Justin Robert Young. I just want to get, I meant to ask you this before now, but now that we have a verdict in the trial and stuff, and we haven't talked about the Trayvon Martin thing here at all.
We have not.
I'm just curious about this one bit of this, and I'm going to take some heat for what I'm about to say. I know I am.
Okay.
But I want to just get it out because I believe in full discourse. We should all be honest about at least our feelings, even if they're cursory feelings or even if they're uneducated feelings. Here's what I think about everybody freaking out about this trial.
Yes.
I don't love the outcome of the trial. Not being anyone who's super knowledgeable about the facts of any of it, I say that knowing that, okay? But I guess part of me wants to say to everybody, it's the age old, if you, okay. So one side won this fight and the other side lost this fight. And there's a lot of people that think that's an injustice. And there's recourse for that. There's appeals. There's other, you know, there's stuff you can do, right?
Yeah.
If you feel like an injustice has occurred. But it is the system in which we agree to be in. So when we have the process happen and your side doesn't win.
Yeah.
And then everyone acts like this is quite literally the end of man. We have made, we are done. This is it. And, well, and I want to scream at them and say, oh, it may be that this needs to be retried. It may be that the appeal needs to go through. It may be all of those things. But this is the process. And sore losing isn't helping us. Just to say, the system's right. Broken is not the answer. The answer is, no, the system allows for you to say, this didn't go the way it did because the evidence is wrong or presented wrong or whatever. To pretend like it's just a giant corrupt mess when you lose and not when you win a case. If you won the case, you wouldn't be saying this. The other side mm-hmm. would be.
Well,
I get frustrated with that part of human nature.
Here is where I think the frustration from those who are very, very angry comes in when they look at this as not the end of a fair trial.
Yeah.
And not to say that the trial particularly wasn't fair, mm-hmm. but another example of a corrupt larger system, larger than the legal system, you know, something that perverts even the legal system and was the reason why Zimmerman wasn't initially wasn't going to be initially charged until pressure was put on, the Sanford police, and you know, it had the police chief wound up resigning under pressure or whatever. So that this is an example of just a racially based unfair element of our society. That's what people who are very, very angry. I mean, if I'm to summarize their position completely without their permission,
right?
Without
them knowing at all.
Knowing. And, you know, so if I'm going to take a wild guess as to why people are very, very angry, that's what I would say, is that this case was never about this case.
Yeah.
This case was about race. It was about race in America and you know, the fact that when you frame it when you just take the two-line look at it, you know, unarmed 17-year-old black kid murdered by a gun, and the guy who murdered him isn't even going to be brought in as an arrest. Like, that's a hard two sentences to look at.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's no secret that race is, the major issue in our country today, you know, in terms of how we look at things and how we deal with stuff. And not to say that it's not something that is evolving, not to say it's not something that hasn't gotten better, but it's not, you know, it's not a settled issue. And I'm sympathetic to the concept that it's hard, you know, it's hard when the people in the majority say, well, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. not the people in majority's position to say, well, it's over.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, I can't stand here and go, I don't feel a racist feeling in my body, so why are we all still fighting about this? Like, when I say that, that's just, sure, that may even be 100% true about me, but issue done, sweep it under the rug, sweet, finally, we've come to a conclusion here. I don't get to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know who gets to do that, though. Like, when do we get to go, like, at what point, these are bigger questions than this show ever has time to tackle, especially at 8:21 a.m. your time.
I mean, that's the point is that we will always look at another until there's another bigger other. So when there's aliens, we'll stop dealing with the race thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, or when there's androids, or when there's an AI system that you know, forms into, I'm reading a Fall of Hyperion now.
Oh, I hear that's great.
Yeah, no, Hyperion's great. If anybody hasn't read Hyperion, Hyperion is awesome. It's basically like this really super well-written sci-fi Canterbury Tales. Yeah. And so like they have six characters that tell six different stories. And maybe it's more, but like some of them are awesome and they're all kind of different genres.
Yeah.
Long story short, that has nothing to do with Trayvon Martin. But
are you sure? Because
I'm almost positive.
Okay.
Trayvon Martin. But okay. Then again, like, listen, there were riots outside. Like all last night, there were police choppers over our apartment because there was a big protest out in Oakland. So I literally cannot escape Florida. Florida is just the actions of Florida have chased after me. It's a major issue, but you want to know what it isn't? Really anything about the ins and outs of why this particular case was found in this particular way. Because, yeah. You know, across racial lines, legally, it seemed to me that there was enough consensus to say that a jury would be able to find reasonable doubt in the case as presented by the prosecution.
Yeah.
But again, those are subtleties that are, you know, they are the point and they're not the point in this case.
Well, they're also lost on people who are seeing this from afar and are enraged on one side or the other. They don't. I guess that's what I'm always of the opinion that if we just let everyone can just calm down for a second and just relax, look at the facts, look at the stuff, look at the whatever. And if a big injustice has been carried out, that will suss itself out and we will see it. And maybe we have seen it. Again, I'm limited knowledge of the facts, so I don't want to overstate. But maybe that's already there and we can do that. And then we can take it. But we need to do it in this like non-freak out way, or the more we freak out, it's just so reactionary. And I think it's bad for the case. Like if a true injustice has been carried out here, let's squeeze the system for all it can give that injustice. And if that's still not enough, then we can start pitchforking everything. You know what I'm saying?
But you are asking people to have faith in a system that has like just immediately completely found, you know, has been found lacking by the people that you are asking to have faith in it.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, like, I understand so it. I understand.
That's a hard argument to make now because, again, it's not about the legal system. It's about the bias, soft or hard, that, you know, infects everything. That makes it more likely for somebody to see criminal intentions in a black person than in a white person.
Right.
You know?
No.
And it's hard. It's hard when you look at, you know, I've always kind of found that crime and poverty travel far more on economic lines than they do on racial lines. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, you have a, you know, more blacks that are poor than whites, then you're going to see, you know, bigots kind of use that statistical correlation as proof of, you know, racial bias.
Yeah,
and that's hard to do, you know, and that's a we're looking at a much larger problem here than we're looking at. And again, that's what this was about. This was about race in America and how people are going to deal with it on a larger level from the get go with this. So right. It should be no surprise that it's, you know, a complete circus afterward.
Yeah.
You know, after the case is decided, and then from wherever it's going to go after that. You know, and this has been, to me, it's been a disgraceful thing. Even, and I will just say, personally, I kind of find George Zimmerman as a person to be somebody that if I can completely judge his character based on what I have seen of him, and what I think we could all agree is a pretty challenging circumstance to have, you know, the world's hot
media poker. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. But he seems like somebody that I would really not like just as a person.
He does. He totally does.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not even in the actions, just in his interviews and his demeanor. He just kind of bothers me as a human being. But I feel bad for him in, like, you know, when you had like NBC News editing together his 911 call to make it sound like, you know, the first, second, and third thing he was saying was that he was following a black guy, you know, and not asked what his race was by the 911 operator. I feel bad about that. That's a disgrace, you know?
Sure.
You know, even for whatever feelings I have about him personally, it's an absolute mess, and I have a hard time faulting anybody's passion for it, because like what people are marching about is something that goes far beyond the trial, you know, and I understand where they're coming from with that. That may or may not be how I would personally handle it, but then again, I am of indeterminate race, so.
Right, I was gonna say, I don't know what the hell you are. Okay.
Parts unknown. That's what I write on my census.
You know what you are? Let me tell you who you are. You're like that. You're like a Johnny Quest villain. We don't know where you came from or what your deal is and where you hail from, but we know that you're evil. We know that. Okay, here's the thing that I remember this moment that happened in a car once. It freaked me out. It freaked my wife out even more. That was a real lesson learner. So we're in the car, and this will sort of just probably close this out, and I don't know if it'll close in a good way, but whatever. We're driving the car, and Kim notices next to us a car full of four men of what seemed to be obvious to her anyway, Middle Eastern descent. And this is 2002, and it was less than a year since 9/11. Mm-hmm. And she got really anxious, kind of freaked out, a little bit of a panic, moved the car over two lanes, eventually pulled over and told me what she saw and how she felt.
Yeah.
And she goes, I feel really bad that I reacted that way. I said, well, you know, part of me is like, well, I kind of understand why. And then I kind of understand why you'd feel bad. Like I'm of two minds on this. You know, this horrible thing happened, and it was at the hands of some fundamentalists, but now we're associating people. You know, it's the age-old problem. It's how they treated the Japanese in the 30s and 40s. It's how, you know, we kind of reacted to people of Middle Eastern descent, perhaps in the early aughts. But it was the first time we really had this, like, personal, visceral reaction to something like that. And I think there was something to be learned there about race and about associating race to something else, like be it crime or be it whatever, economic status, whatever it may be. Really weird, right? Like she just it really took her for a loop, and the conversation was really interesting, and I feel like that was the important bit as we stopped and we talked about it, and she, you know, directly confronted the whole idea. And you know, we have a 1-year-old in the car, and part of it is just motherhood kicking in and going, protect the child at all costs.
Yeah.
Even if these people are as American as me, you know, it didn't matter.
Even if it's a ridiculously racially biased chance.
Yeah.
You know, many of my comedic heroes have been people that fearlessly talked about race. And I've always, even as I get older, I come to admire them more, because I feel like, you know, people like Mel Brooks and Richard Pryor and Dave Chappelle, for as much as they make jokes about this stuff, it's necessary that we keep a conversation going, and keep a conversation going about the bad stuff. Keep a conversation going about that. Keep a conversation going about, you know, pulling over the car because you were afraid of four Middle Easterners in it, because it's the worst part about it is to pretend that we live in a post-racial society. Because we don't. And you know, it's not to say that we are all the worst people in the world, because we don't, you know? Because, and, you know, I made this point during 4th of July, because I think it is kind of what I admire about the uniquely American spirit, is that it's not about whether or not we screw up. It's about that we care that we should get better.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
even if it takes us 150 years.
Just fine. Then we have a big job. And we got to work on it.
Right.
You know, and like to hide it and pretend that it's not a problem, to me, is the worst thing in the world. And, you know, that's kind of where I am with all of this. Is like, it's a big problem. This is a huge issue. And I understand when people are marching. I don't understand why people are smashing out windows in Oakland. Because I think that says more about assholes in Oakland than it does right. about anything else. That doesn't have anything to do with race. It's funny because there's a Burger King down in Oakland that got its windows smashed out a couple times during the Occupy Wall Street protest.
Right.
So out on the front, there's a big sign that says, "This Burger King is locally owned. This Burger King employs 17 local Oakland residents. The owner of this Burger King is the 99%. We support Occupy Wall Street." And it's all just basically saying, for God's sakes, please don't smash out the windows.
we had a week of glass in our burgers. We can't do that again.
It's like, we can't afford it. Like, I have a mortgage. I was thinking about, like, well, now they're going to have to be like, we support the conviction of George Zimmerman. Like, we believe justice for Trayvon should be served. Yeah. Please don't smash out the windows.
There was a local Chick-fil-A that did similar disclaimers on their window during the whole anti-gay chicken thing. They basically were just claiming, you know, we're a local franchise owner, local employees. We do not take a position one direction or the other. And so essentially they were just saying, hey, we're neutral. So all you guys coming in here to buy a bunch of chicken because you support anti-gay legislation, and all you people coming in here just to defy it all with your gay boyfriend or whatever. Either way, we don't care. We're just making a bunch of nuggets. So come on in. Yeah. It's interesting.
I think he should have went one way, man. He should have just said, listen, the male owner or the male manager of this chicken filet will kiss any man who walks in. It's just like a kissing booth. It's like, we ain't got no problem. I'll kiss any man.
Yeah.
And then it's like, isn't that a little going too far? And he's like, no.
No.
And it's like, well, maybe you have some other issues to work out. You have issues to work out. You want to kiss me?
This is exactly how this went down. There are meeting notes to prove it. All right. Well, I think that's good for a very serious time with Justin Ryan.
Man, I guess we talked about the fun Pacific Rim stuff on the spoiler.
Spoiler cast, which, by the way, will have its own feed this week, so people get excited about that. You don't have to get it on the mega feed anymore. Just get it on the website. We'll have its own home. It's still what it is. It's this occasional thing talking about spoilery things. We have our eye on Breaking Bad and a few other things coming up. So
No schedule, but whenever we have a... Whenever we have a thing, we'll figure it out.
Never get a wild hair up our butts, as the kids say.
Which happens so often, we should probably see a doctor.
Probably, at some point. But it was a lot of fun. If you want to check out that spoilerific episode where we talked about Pacific Rim. And it's funny you mentioned that for society to switch its gears and focus on something else, it needs a giant thing to happen. That movie's theme was kind of that, wasn't it? It was like... Oh, giant lizards.
For 5 seconds.
Well, it was. It was like, hey, everyone in the world have buried their hatchets because now they all got to focus on giant robots to fight giant lizards. And that was it. But
And then it was like, oh, well, all right. Let's forget that and not have that be part of any of the plot.
Yeah.
Because there is no plot. Also, our main character doesn't have a character arc. and the main villain, who is Iceman from... Top Gun, has a bigger character arc than the main character. And for the movie that everybody said was the paragon of originality is basically Independence Day and Top Gun. And when you walk out of the theater, you're like, man, remember that really, really complex plotted science fiction movie, Avatar, compared to Pacific Rim?
Those are the good old days.
Yeah. Remember? At least they ripped off Fern Gully.
Yeah. And whatever. If you're saying to me which one am I going to spend some more money on and watch again, it's Avatar.
Avatar? Without a doubt, it's Avatar.
Yeah, I'd watch Avatar again. It's not a problem. That's just the way I would roll. It's not great. But you can hear about what we think. And there are a lot of people who are really, really indignant about our distaste for those parts of the movie.
I'm like, I don't know what to tell him.
Lines in the sand on that one, yep. Like weeks before. Yep. For some reason, we were all drafted into the army of needing to love Pacific Rim for reasons beyond the quality of the movie itself. We had to defend originality.
Yeah.
Go see Pacific Rim, which I don't quite get or understand.
Right. I would say Pacific Rim was the Sharknado of that week if Sharknado wasn't the Sharknado of that week. That's what I would say. I would say either way, end the geek peer pressure now, everyone.
Did you have this thing where I feel like the rest of the world is kind of catching up on this phenomenon? Like, when Twitter first started happening, like, I'm sure you guys had the thing that, like, we did on NSFW, where, like, all of a sudden, everybody is talking about one thing, you know? And you're like, oh my God, this one thing is the biggest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
And whether it be a movie or a video game or a news story. And then you kind of step out into the outside world and you're like, nobody is talking about it except for the 13 people I follow on Twitter.
Yeah. No, it is. Right? It definitely happens every day. I feel that way. And I have to remember to get that perspective or else you can really go down a long rabbit hole.
That happened with Sharknado last week. Because Sharknado comes out, it does like some crazy Twitter number, right? That it's like tweeted about some ridiculous amount of time. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, and also only those people watched. Like this was not a representative sample size. Like, oh my God, well, if these many people are tweeting about it, then imagine how many people just actually watched it. It was like, no. Maybe there are people tweeting about it that weren't watching it, like based on the numbers.
Yep.
And like all of a sudden Hollywood had to realize like, oh wait, Twitter isn't the real world.
No, they learned this with Snakes on a Plane, I think. Because remember that thing was like giant viral
Twitter.
Yeah, pre-Twitter even, but that was such a big deal online and that just seemed like, oh, it's going to be the biggest thing ever, and it tanked. It didn't tank, but it did pretty poorly. And
it was also like it was like awful for a million different reasons.
but again, it's this manufactured camp that isn't real camp. Real camp is hard to capture.
Literally the only part about Snakes on a Plane that was popular was even before online, it wasn't like, oh my God, this script is great. We really want this script to be made. It was the joke was Samuel Jackson needs to scream the line.
Yeah.
You know, the tired of these snakes line.
Right.
And now I'll tell you what, you'll be goddamned if that I'm tired of these mother effing snakes on this mother effing plane and the censored cousin of it aren't really, really, really big hits on YouTube. So really, the only part that people were really caring about was indeed a hit with the crowd that it was there.
The one line that lasted 5 seconds, yeah.
It's just the 1 hour, which, by the way, in that movie, it's like so obviously tacked on because like Sam Jackson is like calming down the rest of the crew or the survivors on the plane.
Yeah.
Like he's like, all right, everybody, we need to calm down here. We can't get all worked up. That's it! I'm tired of these motherfuckers. Like, it's just the most like stupid cut-in job.
Yeah. No. Well, there you go. We've solved race. We've solved film production and marketing, and we've solved Twitter all in one show. Everybody.
Exactly.
Justin, anything big going on in your life that people should be aware of right now?
Big show, big NSFW show tonight. We're going to be an hour late because we have the Double Clicks. If you are a fan of internet songstresses, the Double Clicks, they're going to be live on the show, live in the studio in Petaluma. We're going to do, if you haven't seen Marion Cole and Allie Gertz, and I forget, we had a hacker rapper whose name I can't remember right now. But we've had people live in studio lately to perform music, and it's been really, really good. I'm actually really, really proud of the product that we've put out. I think we've used kind of the Twit Studios in a way that they have not been used before, and I'm very excited to do it again tonight. So go ahead and tune in live.twit.tv for NSFW show featuring the Double Clicks. Otherwise, Justin R. Young on Twitter and... yeah.
Brian in town for that or just you in the studio there?
Brian is not in town. Mm. I will be in town. Mm. We will rock and roll. And then hopefully at some point, maybe when I swing through Denver for a Veil Go Game. I wanna try and co-host Coverville with the idea that I sent to Brian.
Oh, that's awesome!
Oh, really? Save that one, the one you suggested. Ooh, it'd be the first time having a co-host. Well, whoa, I guess not the first time. It's been a while. Yeah.
Wow. Well, at the very least, if you're there,
usually I run solo. But for you,
for Justin, anything.
I would absolutely make an
nudity.
Listen,
beer,
how
swilling,
many episodes you had?
Alcohol?
Like you can spare one with a co-host. You've got about
For you, I would do it.
Yeah, for
you've
just
done two episodes a week since '93.
Yeah.
Your first episode was like, man, that OJ trial's crazy, huh?
Did you see the white Bronco? Amazing.
Anyway, here's a cover of Tainted Love.
Yes. Bam, bam. All right, excellent. Justin R. Young, everyone check it out. Watch NSFW tonight. That sounds fantastic. Always a pleasure. Take it easy. Dr. Bird for the president. We'll talk to you tomorrow or later.
Bye.
Maybe not tomorrow. Bye. That's it. Off he goes. All right, Brian, I want to read this email. This is the apology from the National Transportation Board, Safety Board. Okay.
Okay.
On July 12th, the National this is from the Office of Public Affairs. They're located in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Right. Kelly Nantel is the person who wrote this. I'm not going to give out any other personal information. Okay. July 12th, the National Transportation Safety Board apologizes for inaccurate and offensive names that were mistakenly confirmed as those of the pilots of Asiana Flight 214, which crashed at San Francisco International Airport on July 6th. Earlier today, in response to an inquiry from a media outlet, a summer intern acted out. It sounds like a movie, doesn't it? The Summer Intern, starring
Owen Wilson. Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically that movie. A summer intern acted outside the scope of his authority when he erroneously confirmed the names of the flight crew on the aircraft. The NTSB does not release or confirm the names of crew members or people involved in transportation accidents to the media ever. We work hard to ensure that that only appropriate factual information regarding an investigation is released, and deeply regret today's incident. Appropriate actions will be taken to ensure that such serious error is not repeated, and the intern will be murdered. Office of Public Affairs.
I think you added a part.
Did I? Oh, did I add that? Part. Oh, okay. Yeah. That didn't happen. Anyway, interesting, right? Went all the way to the top. They had to
very interesting
come out and say, yes, summer intern screwed up. Way to go, some 19-year-old idiot. Ugh. That's what it all comes down to. The world comes down to 19-year-old idiots. They're all the commenters on YouTube. They're the ones trying to date my daughter for nefarious reasons. I have a personal stake in this.
Just a little bit.
And I was a douche when I was 19. I'll admit it. All right. That's it. Let's get the hell out of here. Before we do, our friend Carrie / Cleo is going to join us. Hold on here. For some reason, her name is being weird. There we go. Add her to the call. Let's tallywhack this business. Let's find out who won, because that's what we do on the show. And here's her intro right here. Wait, right there. Nope. Right here. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cleo, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Did everything go okay yesterday with the phone call and all that?
Oh, yeah. We're just trying to figure out Eden's brain surgery. We're just getting it squared away. So
you are so chill about this stuff. Like, oh, it's just my daughter's brain surgery. But yeah, you are because I know that your heart's in it. I know that you were all hands on deck. I know that you were like one of these most supportive mothers I've ever seen. Yet you are able to do it all with a grin on your face and a bunch of dumb points for a chat room at the end of the day every morning. And like, it's just, it's impressive. So happy Mother's Day way in advance for next year.
Oh, there's lots of booze involved. No, really. It's just kind of like if Carter broke her hand and she still wanted to do her art, you would find a way to make sure she could do that. Doing the same thing for my kids.
That's a great way to put it and a great perspective to have. So just know that it's admired. I see it and I'm impressed by it. So anyway.
Talk to me in 3 weeks when I'm in the hospital.
I could do like Kim. Kim can compartmentalize anything. I can't talk today. She can compartmentalize my inability to speak. But she can do, like, if something huge is coming or a big deal or a surgery or something, she can park that thing away in some far off place in her head and not worry about it.
Yep.
Oh, that I could do this. Oh, that I had this magical power that these women possess.
You would be crapping all over the airport. It would be great.
You know, let me tell you what I regret. There's only one thing I regret more than actually having a fear of crapping on a plane.
What is that?
That I told anyone that I have a fear of crapping on a plane.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It's my only other, because I hear it constantly from everyone. Twitter is always aflush with it. I can't even say anything like, looking forward to my trip to Anaheim. Make sure you don't poop on the plane. Make sure you poop before you get on that plane. Like, it's a constant sound and noise, and it's just, I don't know. I regret telling the story.
Well, we're going to start with one of those here. So
that's what makes you charming, so don't do it.
Okay.
Don't
regret it. That's exactly what makes me charming. Fantastic.
That's what makes you charming. Makes your ability to share that information.
I see. So you're not saying the actual fear of pooping doesn't make me charming.
No. The sharing that you do. The coming clean about stuff like
the
that.
The scab I am willing to rip off of me, the human wound, and expose to the world.
Right.
And say, here is who I am, damn it. Live with it or go away.
That's
all
right.
Fine. All right, Cleo.
Ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Score it.
Worst things to eat after a workout, Thorin, 6 tacos. Point.
Point Thorin.
Point Thorin. Yes. Yeah. I am sci-fi. I have a thing for women is my Bizarro Village People cover band.
Opposites. I get it. That's great.
Some of these you're going to have to give a little thought to, but some of them are just great.
Right.
Ironic name. J.K. Rowling's porn novel would be called The West Wang.
Mm-hmm. Of course it would.
The West Wing.
Okay. Sure.
The West Wang.
Wang, got it.
West Wang.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Jester, story about the party crasher is also known as Johnny Depp's summer vacation video.
All right.
Today's winner, another J. Martin. Spock was shot into space in a canister called the Mark Wahlberg.
Nice. That is not one I would
say
want
hello
to be in.
Project Genesis for
yeah.
me.
Beep, beep, exactly. Beep, beep. Good vibrations. All right, Cleo, have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you tomorrow, though. We'll do this again.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Ooh. That was a weird noise.
Cut her off mid-bye.
I did. Okay.
Ooh.
Oh.
Time to go. That's the thing that tells us it's time to go. I would like to thank the following people, AlphaGeekRadio.com and Todd Whitehead over there for the Shoutcast stream. He is good people, and we like him. Scott Fletcher does our voice bumpers. He is also good people, and we like him. Get our t-shirt at /loot.com. On frogpants.com/TMS, you'll find our blog and all of our shows and episodes and our forum links and everything else. Go check that out and support the site. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream is our email address. Facebook, sorry. Email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at MorningStream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. And if you want to support the show in meaningful ways, that helps us out a lot. For as low as $2 a month, you can go to frogpants.com/subscribe and you can contribute to the show that way. Every little bit helps. And for a mere $2 a month, that's less than one coffee at a freaking Starbucks.
That's less than half a coffee at a Starbucks.
Yeah, it's nothing.
That's
like a half an hour in an arcade. That's no money at all. It's 2 songs on iTunes. Right. It's a couple of crappy apps on the App Store. Think about it in many ways as you want, right? It's some ancient 2008 game you never heard of on Steam that's on sale today that you're going to pay for.
About the price of one 16-ounce bottle of Pepsi at your local 7-Eleven.
Right, which you don't need in your life. You need us.
You don't need that.
So
you need us.
Go there. Right. Frogpants.com/subscribe. All right. Coverville, something happened yesterday, today?
There will be. There was one yesterday. There was a bonus tracks episode just for Coverville citizens, and that's a way you can support Coverville. But that's listen to Coverville to find out how you can support Coverville. But there will be a Coverville Today, an all-request show. That's for everybody. Covers of Elvis Costello. That was the only one I remember looking at earlier. Led Zeppelin, Simple Minds, Devo, and David Bowie. Covers of all those bands on today's episode of Coverville. All by request, and trivia with Tina at the end today.
Oh, love me some Tina. That's great.
Yes.
That sounded dirty.
Who doesn't?
No, everyone loves Tina. Sitting next to Tina at Frog Pants All-Stars. Oh, speaking of which, holy crap. So I promised last weekend I was going to run the All-Stars stuff over the weekend on this feed. And because I'm lame, I didn't do it. So this weekend, everyone.
How does it hold up in audio only? Does it work?
Great. Yep. Totally works.
Do we have video yet that I can
not yet
mess around with?
Soon, I'm told. I'm told by the powers that have
it. You got top men working on it?
Yeah, top men working with terabytes upon terabytes of video.
I'm sure.
Are sifting through it all, and will be getting us content for all the panels separately. Scott Fletcher's sing-along separate. Like, everything is in big chunks, and we'll have it soon. But soon is a relative term, and they haven't given me any more specifics than that. So hopefully very soon.
Cool.
And it's all high-quality HD. Yeah.
And lastly, Scott Johnson, what's your favorite color?
Yellow. Did you know that? It is. Always has been. I love yellow.
Very good. I used to wear. There you go, Geek Girl, yellow.
Why are they asking? What do they want to know that for?
Well, Geek Girl wants to know. There may be a scarf in your future.
What? That would be so amazing. She's the scarf maker person.
She's the scarf maker.
I always
person,
forget
yes.
who does that. She does amazing stuff, and I always forget that's yes. her. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, yellow is my favorite color. Orange is a very close second. Just, okay. you know, if you're having a, if you have to make a choice and there's not enough yellow yarn left or whatever, how about orange?
Scarf maker woman.
Love
keeping
those colors.
Your neck warm. Her invulnerability to crochet. Celsior. I don't know.
I don't know either, but
I'm spent.
It's fine. It's not a problem. Tomorrow, brand new show. Nicole will be here. Tom will be here. And man, we're back in the swing of things, everybody. So thanks for hanging out with us and helping us make TMS what it is. And for all your mm-hmm. support. All right, let's play them out with something nice in their ears. What do you got?
Let's do that. This one going out to Brian from Torrance. Dear Soundwave and Bone Crusher, my lovely wife Kim and I have been together since we started dating in high school mid-2002, and July 16th will mark our third wedding anniversary. In celebration of 3 years of happiness and awesome, I'd love it if Brian could play a cover of Grand Funk Railroad, Some Kind of Wonderful, on the show. It was the first custom ringtone I ever made on my phone for when she called. Side note, I have no idea if their version is the original. It's just the one I'm familiar with. Thanks in advance if you're able to play this for all of us. She really is many, many kinds of wonderful, and I have no idea what I would do without her. Love the show though, Brian from Torrance. And I they sent me the photo that I took with them at Nerdtacular, and I'm doing, they took two of them. They asked me to do the photobomb face in one of them, or at least I did the photobomb face in one of them, and that's the one that they sent, seemed to send around to all of us. But hey, you know what, that's fine with me. That's sure. That's what I do.
You're cool with that.
Grand Funk Railroad was not the original artist, by the way. They did a couple of covers that were big hits. Locomotion, probably their biggest hit. That and We're an American Band. But Locomotion, of course, originally done by Little Eva. Some Kind of Wonderful, originally done by the Soul Brothers Six.
All right.
And but they certainly made it famous, Grand Funk Railroad. How about a cover by Joss Stone? We'll keep things funky, actually. Okay. This comes from a 2003 album, The Soul Sessions, and it's a great cover of Some Kind of Wonderful.
Nice. Well, here it is. It's that, and a quick note that I think it's a coincidence that the George Zimmerman trial happened to be going on right at the same time that George Zimmer, I guarantee it, got fired.
Interesting. You're going to like the way you look in stripes in an orange jumpsuit.
I still think they should wear stripes, but let's go back to that. No more orange
jumpsuits. Yeah, let's go back to Jill. Yes, exactly.
With a chain and a ball attached to you? That'd be fantastic. All right, here it is. Don't forget the internet.
It's a series of tubes.
All right, it's Some Kind of Wonderful. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Thank you, everybody, for being here. See you tomorrow.
I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big fine car. I got everything that a girl could want. I got more than I could ask for. I don't have to run around. I don't have to stay out all night. 'Cause I got a sweet loving man, and he knows just how to treat me right. See my baby, he's alright. See my baby, we're so tight. Don't you know he is some kind of wonderful? Yes, he is. He's some kind of wonderful. Don't you know he is some kind of wonderful? Now hold it, let me tell you one more thing. Now when he holds me in his arms, he sets my soul on fire. And ooh, when my baby kisses me, my heart becomes filled with desire. When he wraps his loving arms around me, he almost drives me my mind. I get these funny little feelings inside of me. Ooh.
chills run up and down my spine. My baby, he's alright. Me and my baby, we're so tight. Don't you know he is some kind of wonderful? Yes, he is some kind of wonderful. He is some kind of wonderful. Now hold it, let me know just one more thing. Is there anybody out there with a sweet loving man like mine? There's got to be somebody with a sweet loving man like mine. Now tell me, ladies,
can I get a witness?
I'm trying to get a witness up in here, ladies.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Do you know what I'm talking about, ladies? Are you listening? Wonderful.
Some kind of wonderful. Don't you know he is some kind of wonderful? Don't you know he is?
Ooh, he's some kind of wonderful. Some kind of wonderful.
Don't you know he is?
He's some kind of wonderful. Yes, he is. Some kind of wonderful.
Don't you know he is?
Ooh,
some kind of wonderful.
Don't you know he is?
Ooh,
he's some kind of wonderful.
Some kind of wonderful.
Don't you know he is? Some kind of wonderful.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I think you will have no more trouble with the delivery of your logs.